Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and good evening. My name is Bennett Pomerantz, and this is Anything Goes. I will tell you, my guest tonight, I have been trying to get for years. I don't mean minutes, I don't mean hours, I mean years. And she finally, after I wore her down, and she's here. E.S. Tilton is an author. She's a lovely lady. She's got so many projects up that I get amazed every time I hear she's doing a new project and how she's doing it. So good evening, ma'am.
Hi, Bennett.
Hi. How are you?
So, I am busy, like you said. It's like one project after another, and then also dealing with health stuff like you've been dealing with, and it's not nearly as serious as what you've been through. I mean, not even partially as serious, but, you know.
Mine is sinus and post-nasal drip. Voice more mature and deep down? Yeah, I have this deep voice now. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm here, are you?
Yeah, I thought it cut out on me.
No, don't. If it cuts out on you, believe me, you'll know. But,
okay,
so, let me ask a silly question.
Okay.
A lot of authors listen to this show. I don't know why. I think because we talk about the authors. And every author has a different idea and a different ideal how to write. How do you write?
Well, that has morphed over the years. Originally, my first writing was from a dream. And I initially would just lock myself in a room and go in kind of a half-dream state. And then I would come out of it and write down what I had dreamed. And, I mean, I woke up one morning with this great dream and decided it needed to be written. And then in order to complete writing it, I kept doing the dreaming on purpose. But then over time, I realized that I wasn't really hitting the tension that I needed to be hitting in the story. There was a little bit of the saggy middle going on, and although I knew enough about, not necessarily about writing, but knew enough from reading to have kind of a natural idea of where the main story plot points should be happening, and I could hit those, I really just didn't feel like I was pushing that button as far as I should. So now I am learning to outline, and that has been my biggest project for the last year. Is learning to outline, and I'm actually outlining my whole entire foretold series right now, which is why it's taking me so long to pull out my next book.
Well, let me ask you a question. And by the way, guys, she's happily married and with grandchildren and everything else. Do you share it with your husband at all? The work,
Oh, yes. Oh, you mean, does he do any of the work?
No, does he read and analyze it and say, it's good?
He reads it, and he reads very fast, so he is not going to find that something needs a comma or anything like that, but he might be, it seemed a little boring in a spot every once in a while, but most of the time he's just like, I love it, go for it.
Do you find, and I'm not trying to be funny, some spouses are like, they're involved with the book, even though they're not writing it, they're involved. Is your husband involved with your book?
Oh, yes. He loves my characters, and he identifies with parts of the personalities. So, yeah, he definitely loves the characters, loves the fantasy fiction, and you know, he's definitely, I would say he was biased, but he read them when we first met. So, I mean, like within a week of meeting, he read the first book. And so I can't really say he's biased towards me because he chose to like them before he even knew me.
Well, when I was married to start with, honey, listen to this and let me tell you.
Oh.
Is it finished? No. So she would then, of course, wait till I finished it. Then she'd listen to it and then critique me fully.
Oh, wow. Ow. That's good, though.
Oh, no.
I mean, I kind of wish I had that.
Well, I'm hireable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm hireable. Have gun, we'll travel. Or have pen,
well,
we'll travel.
Well, that may happen.
We'll edit.
That may happen.
But it's, you know, but when I was married, my lovely wife would be, she was an editor with an iron fist. Not a
wow.
gentle, no. You don't need that, do you? Okay, you pulled it off with a joke there, but you don't need that joke again there, do you? I remember
well,
writing
that actually
a
sounds like me. I don't edit people's stuff because then they hate me after I edit it. So I
well,
just stay away from that.
I remember doing an article on the Flower Show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I started with the article with, I'm a blooming idiot. And she says, honey, only use that joke once. Well, it's an expression. Yeah. Just only use it once. You know. Okay, fine. I used it twice. She took pen and crossed out the second one. So, yeah.
Yeah, she sounds like some of my editors. Yeah, there was one line. There's one thing that I say in my books, and I call it a pain tear, which is whenever you have a pain, something is causing a lot of pain, and you're not sad, but you'll have tears come out, right? So
right.
I call them the pain tear. And my editor said, do not use that more than once in this book. So, yeah, I get it.
Okay. Other than dreaming it, how do you write these days?
I sit down and figure out what needs to happen to get the finish that I want at the end of the book and all the things that need to happen between the beginning and the end, and I'll write like just a sentence or two. And if I come up with suddenly a paragraph of inspiration while I'm doing it, I'll go on and jot it down, but it may never make the final cut. It's just an idea. And so once I have all the main plot points of the book, I begin to fill in what happens but to get to those plot points, what needs to happen to make, you know, if Tyra needs to kiss Tarik, what is going to happen to cause that her to be willing to do that? Or if a person needs to die, how is that going to happen? Who's going to
just
do it, and
it look
how
to
is
me,
it going
okay?
to happen? Uh-huh.
Just don't make
Say
the character
again?
Look to me when they die, okay?
Right. No, I won't.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I'm not going to make it look like you.
So, do you share it with any other member of your family other than your husband?
My oldest daughter, if she has time, will read it. And my youngest will. My middle just never has time. And she's in the middle of starting college this week, so I don't expect her to have time until that's finished. That's about,
well,
oh, my mother. Yeah. My mother actually loves my writing, and I was kind of surprised by that because she is not a fantasy fiction person. I didn't expect her to be supportive. I thought she would be highly critical, and she does send me my errors.
Well, my mother.
That's helpful because she finds stuff I miss.
My mother would take my column or take something I wrote and put it on the refrigerator. If you ever felt like a 2-year-old, that was when I felt like a 2-year-old. There she, you know, she was putting up my work like it's a kid's finger painting. Oh, yeah, that's Bennett's article. And she'd invite all the Mahjong group to read it. And then she would call me over to her home at that time and say, honey, help me change a light bulb. Sure, Mom. Change the light bulb. Okay?
Yeah.
And then everybody in the Mahjong group would, oh, I read your article and you're so good. Oh, yeah. God, what a positive Easter stroke that was.
Well, you need that. Especially at the beginning.
But it's like I just wrote the article a few days before and suddenly it's like, there it is. What's your craziest fan experience other than me?
My what?
Craziest fan experience.
Somebody met me on another social media and I thought they sounded a little crazy. So I did not share any of my information with them, and that was under a different name, and they somehow found me on Facebook. So I would call that the craziest, because they found me and they began to stalk me. I felt threatened by this person. I'll put it that way. So.
When I felt threatened, I was in a men's room stall, and a person saw one of my newspapers and put the newspaper under the stall and asked me to autograph.
Oh, my God. No. That's horrible.
And I was like, I never saw the person physically. It sounded like a female, but I don't know. I autographed it.
Oh, my goodness.
It could have been a process for all I knew.
Yeah. But did they want you to sign it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But they slipped it under the bathroom stall.
Yeah, that would be a little creepy.
It's very creepy, but the thing is, you handle it. You smile.
Yeah.
And you say, sure, I'll sign the autograph. Because I always learned, if you say no, I don't care if it's in front of a bathroom stall or an autograph line.
Yeah.
You've got to sign it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then they say, how dare you, you idiot, you know.
Well, I just feel like these people have taken the trouble to love us. So, you know, if we're wanting to put our stuff out there in front of the world and we've got people that love us, unless we're actually really threatened, we need to encourage that. So, you know, some of these actors who are spitting in people's faces and stuff, it's just like, really? How could you do that to somebody who loves you?
Easy, you know, the fame has got to their head.
I hope I never become that person.
Oh, I don't want to be that person either. But there's a difference. Even the person in the bathroom stall had manners. But
yeah, that's true.
You don't know.
Well, I have to admit, I probably would have said, can I please wash my hands first? I just made him probably wait until I came out.
Well, you can't tell.
Yeah.
Also, this was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Age was prevalent, and, you know, I was like, sure.
Well, and nowadays, most of the bathrooms are, you know, they're non-gender, so... a woman could walk in the bathroom and it wouldn't be any big deal.
I remember there's an old convention story. Nimoy was in the men's room. Leonard Nimoy, Spock. And
right.
And Autograph Seeker did the same thing to him. He says, excuse me, we'll wait until I'm done with my personal business.
I'm sure that's not the only time he ever said that. I bet
well,
he got bothered all the time.
Man.
He was one of my favorite actors. So I was so sad when he passed.
We all were sad when he passed.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nice, nice man. He really was.
He was. He really was.
But the thing about it was, you knew he had COPD for years. And
say that again. I'm sorry.
He had COPD for years.
And what is that?
With the lungs, you know, COPD.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
He was in oxygen and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd put, you know, he was, a lot of times he'd travel in a wheelchair. And he'd try to do it incognito.
Right. That's probably why I didn't know
the
he was doing
The latter part
that.
Of his life, he traveled in a wheelchair.
Wow. I guess because he was still doing some acting roles.
What?
He what? I guess because he was still doing some acting roles, I don't know.
Terminal.
Right.
And nowadays, you have to be a mile-high sprinter to go to the airport.
That's true. That is
not
true.
Me.
Well, not
so
me.
So what
either.
Are you working on now?
Mainly just rewriting the books and learning the more about how to outline and trying to speed up my work. Like, it's slower right now because I'm doing this learning process, but it's also faster. And a lot of behind-the-scenes marketing stuff that hopefully nobody will ever see. They'll just see the results when it's finished. It's just tedious how much stuff has to be done.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. I know it's
sometimes... Even like creating a newsletter that I need to do and stuff like that. It's just really, you don't think it's that much work, but it takes you away from writing. It takes you away from what you really want to be doing in order to do the side work that you wish you could just hire somebody to do. But if you hired them, would it really express yourself to the people that are reading it, you know?
Well, years ago, people would have fan children doing it for them.
I did not know that.
That was years ago. A publicist or somebody else to do it for you.
Yeah.
Now, doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Self-publishing is more popular.
Well, it is popular.
I'm not trying to be rude to you. You're doing my radio show. I still say, it's a podcast. It's a radio show. It's all the same to me.
Right.
And people would go, it's a podcast. It's a radio show. It's a radio show. It's whatever. if they said, I have a radio interview. No, you have a podcast.
Oh,
I don't
right.
care what you call it. It's still the same thing to me.
It is. It is the same thing. And I run into that all the time. I don't know if it's because I'm over 50, but I sometimes do not get the words, the popular words that are have been used, and everything is shifting to this new lingo. And sometimes I'm left behind and I say something and it seems so wrong because I don't know that the word I've used has changed meaning. And it now means something that I never intended. And that's been an embarrassment to me. And so I've had to try to, like, educate myself in many ways about the current trends with the current generation. And I sometimes wonder, you know, is it even possible to keep up anymore?
Well, I think what's old is new, okay? We used to have radio, and used to not just, it wasn't like a podcast, it was a radio show. Now it's a podcast, a viewing party, whatever.
Right.
And before it was, you have a podcast now, okay? And it's strange, it's a strange feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly, and I also think that as we get older, we lose some of the plasticity in our brain, and we have less acceptance of learning new things. So we have to work harder at it than maybe a 20-year-old would have to do to learn the exact same things.
Well, I came from newspapers originally. And I had a column a week. Well, I had really three columns a week, but that's okay. But it's like nowadays, you know, you have to do a blog instead of a column. Oh, God. Yeah. It was, you know, what I used to do in 1 week, they do 3 times a week on some people.
Yeah. I know.
And I respect the people that, you know, and they have what they call street teams that help them. That's, you know, that go to the book shows and cheer on the author and everything else.
Oh, I think also the street teams also give them feedback, early feedback on stuff. I think that's what they get out of it. Is they get a chance to see the books early and have some say in what happens in that book, which is, for a reader, if I had been given an opportunity to be Andrea Norton's street team, I would have jumped at that because, you know, an opportunity to give her feedback on an early book would have been just so exciting to me.
We have 5 minutes of the hour. Let me ask you, where can they find your stuff?
Okay. I am on, you can find my books on chironsworld.com, K-Y-R-O-N-S-W-O-R-L-D. And you can find my art at secretagentart.com. I'm also on Facebook as E.S. Chilton. And you can also find my books by just going straight to Amazon.com and looking up E.S. Chilton. And I've got some other sites, but they're all linked to from the Chiron's World, so you can find the other sites through there.
Okay.
That's it.
I mean, oh, that
I'm
was
on
it?
Twitter. No, I'm on Twitter, but
there we
I
go.
Never
There's
tweet.
Twitter.
I never tweet. I'm a non-tweeting bird.
Me too. Me, on the other hand, I like Facebook. I hate tweeting. I can't say
I like
that.
Facebook
I don't
because,
hate it.
Yeah,
I
me
don't
too.
Need...
I agree, me too. I need to, and I also had decided I needed to simplify. So I'm in the process also of going back and going through my sites and I'm going to be tearing a lot of stuff out and simplifying all my sites down. And because everything, when you get that much going, it becomes too much work to maintain.
Well, I always loved when an author traveled city to city and you sat in a bookstore and listened to them talk. And nowadays, they just take a podcast, or they take a, you know, videotape one message and put it on YouTube and leave it alone. You know, whereas today, that's what they do. Whereas in the old days, they traveled to the city, used to walk into a Barnes & Noble and listen to the author. Nowadays, Barnes & Noble, if they get an author, you're amazed.
Yeah.
But,
well, they tore down our Barnes & Noble.
I'm sorry?
They tore down our Barnes & Noble. I was so sad.
Yeah, well, bookstores are a thing of the brick and mortar bookstores are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
They tear,
that's sad, isn't it?
And more and more of them. They tore my Barnes & Noble and put up a Target.
Well, ours is being made into an Aldi. It's been all stripped down to the steel beams right now. So, I mean, it's just sad. I miss going into stores and just browsing books. It's different, you know, to do that rather than being on a web page looking at books. They each have their pluses and minuses.
I used to love going to bookstores right in the back. And watch, go in the bookstore and smell the books. The older ones.
Yes.
I don't mean the remainders. I mean the older ones.
Yeah. Well, I like them all.
And it's
that's
like
funny.
Just to touch it and go, you know, the glossy ones, I loved it. Oh, God, yes. And nowadays, it's like, why? Books, what are those things?
Oh, at least the used bookstores are still around, and so when I feel that, you know, craving to be among books, I can go there.
Okay.
So other
Deb
than the books, I own too many
Deb
already.
And Deb's asking me a question for you.
Okay.
Who are your favorite authors?
My all-time favorite is J.R.R. Tolkien, Andre Norton, and McGaffrey. I like Tanith Lee. Oh, goodness, there's just so many. And then, there's a lot more that are new, like Brandon. But those would be my all-time favorites, and I go back to those books over and over. And of course, now, because I'm a writer, I kind of tend to edit as I'm reading them because the writing styles have changed, which is so sad.
You'll laugh. I go back to at least once a year three books.
Which three?
Don Quixote de la Mancha. That's Cervantes' Don Quixote, both parts.
I've never read that.
Oh, yeah. And the other two is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And
oh,
the
my
third
goodness.
One is,
really?
And the third one is Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful book. So, yeah.
And people are like, that's so old? Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. I mean, if they touched us when we were young,
then
we're inspired by them for the rest of our life. And I would say, you know, the three authors that I first listed are the ones who have had the most influence on my writing because they inspired me when I was young.
Put in Mr. Blog Talk, who's pushing me off the air.
Okay.
That time, now it's time to say goodbye. No, wait. Next week, Jan Breland will be in the hot seat on June 11th. So, good night. Fly right. Be well. Fly right.
Good night.